industry. And finally is Born in Flames, a 1983 documentary-style feminist science fiction film by Lizzie Borden that explores racism, classism, and sexism being shown as a part of the Women on Top series, celebrating women behind the camera. Born in Flames will screen on Wednesday, June 3rd at 9 p.m. As always, it's wise to check the movie website at www.arttheater.coop/full-schedule. Today's Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jet's Pizza is located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign, or you can reach them by phone at 217-352-3333. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Lisa Happ from the CU Autism Network. You are listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Is it possible to earn for a person with a disability to earn up to $50,000 a year and still maintain medical benefits? The answer is yes. Stay tuned for an interview with John Spears and learn about an Illinois program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. But first, disability news. New federal statistics indicate people with disabilities remain far more likely to be victims of violent crime. There were 1.3 million non-fatal violent crimes committed against persons with disabilities in 2013, according to data released this month from the U.S. Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Statistics. Overall, people with disabilities were more than twice as likely to experience violent crime as compared to the general population, the agency said. Within this population, those with cognitive disabilities were the most likely to report being victims of violent crime, and about half of victims had multiple conditions. The vast majority of crimes cited were related to simple assault, followed by aggravated assault, robbery, and rape or sexual assault. The findings are based on data from the National Crime Victimization Survey, an annual survey of about 90,000 households asking about their experiences with crime, whether reported or unreported to authorities. Just under half of incidents involving people with disabilities were reported to police, the Bureau of Justice Statistics found. In other cases, those surveyed said they didn't seek law enforcement assistance because they dealt with the matter another way, believe the incident was not significant enough, or thought police would not help, among other reasons. Nearly a quarter of those with disabilities who were victimized indicated that they believe they were targeted due to their disability. On Thursday, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention released a new study that demonstrates in vivid terms something that public health experts have known for a while. Mental health problems are far more common among the poor than the rich. The basis for the study is 5 years of responses to the National Health Survey, Health Insurance Survey, an in-person poll that the federal government has operated continuously since the late 1950s. The version to use today includes questions designed to measure the prevalence of serious psychological distress, a standard that public health experts use as a proxy for certain kinds of mental illness. According to the new CDC paper, 8.7% of people with income below the poverty line of $20,090 a year for a family of three reported serious psychological distress from 2009 to 2013. For people with annual incomes at or above four times the poverty line, that's $80,360 a year for a family of three, the figure was just 1.2%. Quite a difference. Researchers also discovered that about 30.4% of working-age adults with serious distress had no health insurance, compared with just 20.5% of working-age adults without serious distress. Seven former developmental center nurses in New Jersey are charged with criminal neglect over a female resident who required a hand amputation because a broken finger was not properly treated, authorities said on Tuesday. An indictment issued last month states that the seven failed to permit any act to aid the physical or mental health of resident Wendy Hart, who is described as a, quote, severely physically and mentally handicapped client, end quote. The indictment also alleges that five of the seven nurses acted to, quote, knowingly destroy, falsify, remove, conceal any writing or record, or uttered any writing or record knowing it contained a false statement or information, quote. Their purpose was to, quote, deceive or injure anyone and or to conceal wrongdoing, it states. And finally, Google is looking to address the needs of a billion people with disabilities worldwide, and it's putting big bucks behind the effort. The internet search giant said last week that Google.org, the company's charitable arm, is offering up to $20 million to nonprofits to use emerging technologies to increase independence for people living with disabilities. As part of the initiative dubbed the Google Impact Challenge, the company is also asking people with disabilities to suggest problems that they would like to see addressed with the grant money. Google has already committed funding to two groups, the Enable Community Foundation, which links people needing prosthetics with volunteers who use 3D printers to create them at no cost, and Worldwide Hearing, which will use the funds to develop a low-cost kit to detect hearing loss using smartphone technology. Alongside the monetary commitment, Google said it will work to ensure accessibility of its own products and add new offerings that benefit people with disabilities. The company cited its work developing self-driving cars as well as Liftware, a utensil designed to help people with hand tremors eat more easily, as examples of its existing work in this space. Advisors for the new project include autism self-advocate Temple Grandin, among others. And that's the news for this week.
These inventors in the world, yo, let's take a look. How we get these words on our magazines and books. Johannes Gutenberg came up with the best plan in 1450. He gave us all the printing press, man. Next up on the list is Benjamin Franklin. Saw people squinting, then he got to thinking. First he made bifocals, then he made a stove. So now we got a way to keep the food from getting cold. Eli Whitney came up with the solution, and is credited for starting the Industrial Revolution. Look at all your clothes, you can probably thank him for separating rain kind with the cotton gin. iPhones, telephones, now we got cells. Making calls thanks to Alexander Graham Bell. He also made something else that could protect you.
Security guards?
No, metal detectors.
So many inventions from all around the world. Discovered by inventors for all the boys and girls.
My guest today is John Spears, who is an outreach coordinator for health benefits for workers with disabilities with Health Care and Family Services, which used to be public aid. John, tell
exactly,
me about. Okay.
Yeah. A few years ago, when they created DHS, the Department of Human Services, the state gave away my public aid offices to DHS, and so those are now called DHS Family Community Resource Centers. Well, people kept calling public aid, thinking that we could fix their food stamps or their TANF check. And since we didn't control the local offices anymore, we had to change our name because people still think of that local office as public aid. So we changed our name to Health Care and Family Services. And we're the ones that pay the medical bills that DHS gives out. We pay the doctors and the hospitals and the pharmacies. We do child support. We do the LIHEAP program, the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, Illinois Home Weatherization Assistance Program. We do all kids and family care. We have some just amazing programs. It's a huge agency But because we changed our names, a lot of people don't kind of understand what we do.
I always think of DHS as kind of this big pot that gets stirred every once in a while. And so they, you know, try and keep people's access down just by confusing everybody. And it is a confusing system. It really is.
It is. It's a very, very large agency. And there are some truly amazing people that work there that are trying to do some really great things. But it's hard in an organization that large to really make any effective change. And so we've got, that's one of the reasons that I love healthcare and family services, because we're a little smaller and we have some wonderful innovative programs. For example, health benefits for workers with disabilities. I say I work for the coolest program that nobody ever heard of.
And hopefully after today, people will have heard of it. And at least if they're not listening right now, they'll be able to access that information from our website. So let's back up a little bit and tell the listeners a little about yourself, your background, how you got into the field of serving people with disabilities.
I came to public aid almost 25 years ago as a caseworker. Kind of odd. You know, I had a girlfriend that I was working with at a store, and she, you know, when I was a young man, and she said she had gone and taken the state test, and she came in and said she was quitting her job and showed me her first paycheck, and I went, "You mean state employees make that much money?" and today it really wasn't, you know, that much money, but it, you know, compared to what I was making in a
compared to minimum wage,
exactly, yeah. So it was kind of fortuitous. I went down and took the state test and was on the payroll in 30 days. I mean, I was sitting at my desk as a state employee. That's really unheard of these days. But I kind of think it was meant to be. I was a caseworker for about a year, and they recognized that I had some talent for being able to stand on my feet and talk. And so they hired me as a trainer, and I was a trainer with the public aid and then DHS for about 20 years. And now I've been working with Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities, where I do outreach for that program, and just absolutely love it.
So you have no specific background in disability issues, but you certainly serve people with disabilities on behalf of some of the programs that you do have.
Absolutely. And, of course, I have members of my family that are disabled. My father passed away from Alzheimer's. My mother had fibromyalgia and severe arthritis and issues for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I was born with a disability.
So you want to give the listeners a little information about that?
Sure. I have osteogenesis imperfecta. I've broken about 38 bones in my life. So it's basically, as long as I'm careful and don't fall down, I'm fine.
Which, you know, and it just speaks to the fact that disability touches so many people that we are aware of, but then so many more that we are not. I mean, to look at you, you know, nobody could see that there was a disability there, but it certainly impacts your life and your family's life as well. And that's one of the things that I think we all have to realize, that disability can hit any one of our families at any time. And so we need to have that perspective and that knowledge about what resources are out there for folks, and to understand that people with disabilities are just as valuable as anybody else in our society.
Well, and more than saying that someone is disabled, I like to think of the fact that more than often, most of us are just temporarily able-bodied. We don't, you know, we weren't born being able to do everything, and we won't, at the end of our lives, be able to do everything. So
absolutely.
At this point in time, right now, today, maybe I can do everything I want to do, but that could change tomorrow. That could change this afternoon. That could change on the drive home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I have, you know, the ability to temporarily do everything I want to do right now today, that could change tomorrow. So when I stand up and protect the rights of people who are disabled, I'm protecting my own rights.
That sounds, I think we are in total agreement there. Let's talk a little bit about your program. Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. How long has this program been in existence?
We started at the end of 2001 and started taking applications. At the end of 2000, starting taking applications in 2001. So 2002.
So about 6 years.
In numbers. You mm-hmm. know, yeah, 6 years.
And so what spurred the development of this program?
Well, there was a federal grant under the Ticket to Work Act, which allowed states to do this. And a lot of states looked at it. Illinois was one of the first to say, yeah, we really think this is a really cool idea. It's funded under the Medicaid Infrastructure Grant, and the federal government gave us money to start a program. different states started at different levels. For example, I was in a conference in Mississippi, did it in three counties, but only for people who were living with AIDS and HIV. Hmm. Illinois said, no, if we're going to do it, we want to do it for the entire state. We want to reach as many people as possible, and we're going to do it for all disabilities. So we went gangbusters into it to try and reach as many people as possible, because we realize that one of the big issues for people with disabilities is maintaining adequate health care.
Mm-hmm.
That health care has to be number one, that you can think about going to work, but if you're going to lose your health care, you can't go there. So we said, all right, now we need to set up a program which works as a work incentive for people with disabilities who want to go to work, so that they don't have to worry about health care. They're going to be able to get it and get it at a reasonable cost.
Okay, so if previous to this program, if a person with a disability went to work, they could only earn so much money. And that was a fairly low amount of money before they would lose their Social Security income benefits. And if you lose that, then you also lose your access to Medicaid, correct?
Well, basically, Medicaid is based on income and assets. Okay, so the current income standard for Medicaid is $892.
Per month, yes.
So if you have total income between your Social Security and your job of $893, then you have a $1 spend down. So now, in a spend down situation, if I tell you you have a $10 spend down, that means that you've got to go to the pharmacy, you've got to pay at least $10 in, you know, for prescriptions, and then you've got to take the receipt into the DHS local office, and then they'll issue you a medical card, and that'll pay for all of your medical expenses after that first $10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you go to work, the more money you make, the higher your spend down is. So basically, you were working for free. We said, wait a minute, who would want to do that? You know, if I go to work and, you know, I have a free medical card, now I go to work and I have a $600 spend down, the first $600 I make is just going toward increased medical costs.
So what good does it do to work?
What good does it do to work? Except, you know, but we know outside of this that there's really, really great reasons for all of us to go to work, but especially people with disabilities. We know that they're getting out of the house. You know, I can't imagine, I've been unemployed for periods of my life, and even as a relatively able-bodied individual, you know, not having any money, not being able to go anywhere and do anything because I couldn't afford to do it, you know, living with, you know, depression because, you know, nobody wants me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's self-esteem. There's, you know, so jobs give us lots of really great things in our lives. They give us purpose. They give us skills. They give us a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And so we know that there's lots of great reasons for people with disabilities to go to work, but now there's this one great big no that says, wait a minute, if you go to work, you're going to lose all of your money to health care. And so Illinois said, okay, we can fix that. That's the one thing we can fix.
So let's talk a little bit about how they have fixed it. How does this program work?
Sure. What you have to be, just as it says, it's health benefits for workers with disabilities. So you have to be working. And you have to be disabled. You apply for the program through our office in Springfield, so you just mail us an application. And once we've approved it, we send you a notice saying you've been approved and your premium is, for example, $63 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You pay the $63, you get a medical card. You don't pay the $63, you don't get a medical card. It's just like regular insurance. So you can pay for as long as you need the service. If you decide, hey, you know, my employer's now going to cover me by insurance, or I'm now going to be covered by Medicare and that's going to work for me, or whatever, you know, for whatever reason you don't need us. I had a young man in Springfield, he needed open heart surgery. He had a congenital heart defect and needed open heart surgery. It's about $180,000 worth of medical bills. He was on our program for 3 months for $19 a month. Now, where do you know that you can get $180,000 worth of surgery for $60?
Nowhere that I can think of.
Only the government, yeah. You know, and because we're generally talking about people who can't get private insurance anywhere because of pre-existing medical conditions.
Exactly.
You know, can you imagine, you know, if I went at a State Farm and said, you know, I've got osteogenesis, you know, would you cover me, you know, just in case I fall down and need, like, expensive surgery? And they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Would you please leave?
Exactly. And that's one of the concerns for our family in particular, because with a disability like Down syndrome, that is automatically a pre-existing condition. So if Annie went and got a job somewhere, you know, working where she got actual benefits, which is not likely given the fact that she has a significant disability, then there's not an issue. But if she makes too much money, and what is the line that would, you know, obviously now she would be able to apply for these health benefits for workers with disabilities. Would she qualify for something like that? And what exactly are the qualifications?
Okay. Well, as we said, you have to be working and you have to be disabled. Okay.
Working meaning 20 hours a week, no. 40 hours a week, how many
hours?
That's
one of the really cool things. We don't define work, except, of course, you know, we know it's employment, mm-hmm. and you have to pay taxes. We specifically look to see if you're paying FICA taxes or its equivalent. You know, if you're working for the city, it's called IMRF or, you know, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. If it's, you know, but we're looking for those payment of taxes. We don't want people to just like make up jobs and say, oh, yeah, I babysit my grandbabies and my daughter gives me a five once in a while. You know, it has to be a real job where you're paying taxes. But it could be a small job. It could be self-employment. It could be contractual employment, as long as you can prove that you're paying taxes out of that job.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people who do 2 hours a week. That's fine. You know, if that's what they're able to do and capable of doing right now at this period in their life. Because my job isn't to get people to go out and work full time and give up their benefits. Mine is to get them out of the house and get them excited about their life. And knowing that they can do anything they want to do and still have the health care to back them up.
How much can a person make and still qualify for this program?
Well, right now, our income limit is $1,733, and now that's after taxes. So between their Social Security or their SSI, or maybe they're not getting either of those, and their job, they can have up to $1,733 after taxes are taken out. The governor, it started in the legislature, passed a bill. The governor signed it. We are waiting for approval from the federal government that's going to dramatically increase that income standard. One person in the very near future will be able to have $3,033 in income after taxes and still get a full state medical card.
Okay.
So that's really, really cool.
That's really important to know.
Yeah, you're talking about roughly a $50,000 a year job, and you'll still have full medical benefits from the state. Now, we would hope that a $50,000 a year job would come with full medical benefits, but more and more employers are cutting back on their health care benefits. You know, I was watching television last night, and they were saying that the largest car manufacturing area of North America is now Ontario, Canada, because in Canada, General Motors can pay $800 a year for the cost of health care. In Detroit, it's cost them $6,500. So we know more and more employers are worried about the cost of health care. More and more employers are hiring people at 30 hours a week so they don't have to provide them health care. And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they're disabled. It has to do with the fact that health care has gotten so expensive. So we know that people need health care, and they know they need reliable health care.
What problems still exist for people with disabilities regarding health insurance? Are there any plans to adjust change or improve this program down the road?
Absolutely. One of the things that passed the legislature this session, and it didn't get resolved in conference, was an initiative called the Medical Improvement Bill. And under what happens, to kind of back up for a second, what happens is that someone with a disability, a disabling condition, they get a job, they get in my program, and then they start getting regular mental health treatment. They start getting the drugs they need. They start getting the physical treatment they need. They're able to go to a doctor, you know. And because of that, they get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has happened in the past is some of those people are not called disabled anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We know they still have an underlying condition, but it's really not impacting their life in the same way it was, because we've got amazing drugs. I mean, you know, very, very expensive drugs. Had a young man with severe schizophrenia. you know, and within 6 months, he was doing great, holding down a job, interacting with family appropriately, no more thoughts of suicide, homicide, you know, doing great. But these drugs were $1,800 a month.
Holy cow.
Yeah, holy cow. Well, after a year, we do a reexamination on him and say, he's not disabled anymore. Well, then we wind up pulling the rug out from under him because now we're not going to pay for the $1,800. And this would be common of any public aid program. This just isn't mine. This is any medical program is going to do a redetermination. Social Security is going to do a medical redetermination. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is you can later be called not disabled anymore, even though you still have that same underlying medical condition. Well, in this medically improved bill, which passed both houses unanimously, they said, as long as you stay in HBWD, Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities, we will never call you not disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would be able to stay on, keep working, keep getting the health care forever, because we know that that person with that underlying, with that history of that illness, is never going to be able to go out in the workplace or in the marketplace and just buy health insurance. You can't go to Allstate or State Farm or Blue Cross Blue Shield and tell them that you've got, you know, severe schizophrenia and you need $1,800 a month. And by the way, would you cover me for $200?
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
And those privately held health insurance accounts that are being pushed so heavily by the Republican administration really wouldn't be too effective for those kind of folks with disabilities either, would they?
Well, and I don't know the details of that, but the problem is, you know, if it's $1,800 a month, you're going to have to save $1,800 a month. And I don't know who, you know, has that kind of money just to set aside.
Other than, you know, if Bill Gates wants to pay for everybody's, that's great, but I don't think that's going to be too helpful. So let's give people that contact information so that they can get in touch with you, John.
Well, we've got our website, and that's the easiest way to do it. Of course, it's www.hbwdillinois. So Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities, Illinois. You have to spell out Illinois. So hbwdillinois.com. You can go there and you can find out information about income, assets. You can download our application. You can there's a contact us button, so you can send us a question if you have a generic question about the program and how it might apply to you. There's a presentation button if you'd like to have someone come out to speak to your group or organization. That's what I do. We'd be glad to. So there's a lot of great information there. If you need to talk to one of our caseworkers or you want us to mail an application because you don't have access to the website, you can call the HFS hotline at 1-800-226-0768. Or if you use a TTY, you can call us at 866-675-8440.
And I will put both the website link and those telephone numbers on my website at disabilitybeat.com. So when you go there, if you want to share the interview here today with John Spears, you can pass that along to people that you think might be interested in participating, or share the contact information as well. So I want to thank you, John, for coming on the show today. It was great having you here.
Thank you.
And I think this is information that lots of folks didn't even know was out there. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week.